Welcome to Reflection Time, the program that looks at world events and everyday issues through the eyes of the scriptures, and as well shares with you some inspirational music. Welcome to Reflection Time. On our program today, we want to look at one of the older stories from the Old Testament, that being the Tower of Babel. I'm sure most of you have heard of it or are somewhat familiar with it. The descendants of Noah built the tower to avoid being annihilated from the earth once again by a flood. And there's much discussed on this subject. But the question we want to look at, is this idea of the Tower of Babel dead? Or is it still alive today? You just might be surprised. But first in our program, we want to share with you some of our regular features. We'll share with you the Lifeline production, the health tip, as well as the amazing fact. But first, I'll play for you a selection titled, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. Now you might wonder how this ties into the Tower of Babel. Well, stay tuned. And you'll find out. Thank you. that was an excerpt from Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. On our Health Lifeline tip today, Dr. Alan Sakala will be sharing with us some information with regards to cataracts.
Are you 65 or older and experiencing cloudy vision? This is Dr. Elmar Sakala for Lifelines. A cataract usually develops slowly and causes no pain. At first, the cataract may affect only a small portion of the lens and may not impair vision. Over time, however, as the cataract grows larger and less light reaches your retina, vision is impaired. As you age, it is important to pay close attention to your vision, as age is the greatest risk factor. By age 65 years of age, about half of all Americans have developed some degree of lens clouding. Visit an eye specialist every year to screen for the detection of cataracts during the routine eye exam.
Lifelines, a public service of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, provides practical answers to common health questions. For more free health tips, call 877-LIFE-TIPS or visit vibrantlife.org.
This visible electric discharge between rain clouds or between a rain cloud and the earth is seen in the form of a brilliant arc, sometimes several miles long. We call it lightning. This discharge creates a sound wave that is heard as thunder. Some strokes may even move from ground to cloud, particularly from mountain peaks and from tall objects such as radio towers. Lightning flashes from a cloud to the earth may be less than 3,000 feet in length, while flashes from one cloud to another have been recorded more than 20 miles long. Only one lightning flash in 100 ever strikes the earth. However, contrary to the belief that lightning never strikes the same spot twice, it has been known to strike one object or person many times during an intense electrical storm. During one storm, the Empire State Building was struck 15 times within 15 minutes. Sometimes a stroke of lightning consists of as many as 42 discharges that strike the same spot in such quick succession that they appear to be a single flash. It all happens in less than a fourth of a second. More electricity is produced from lightning strikes each day than all the man-made generators can produce in a year, but science has never found a practical way to harness this power. Lightning is one of nature's most violent acts. Each year, it destroys hundreds of millions of dollars of property, mostly from forests and home fires. Lightning also causes well over 100 fatalities each year, which adds up to more casualties than from any other natural disaster. Brescia, Italy, is a place where one of the worst lightning tragedies occurred. In 1769, a flash hit the state arsenal, exploding more than 100 tons of gunpowder and killing 3,000 people. Historical accounts of the Tower of Babel also tell us that lightning destroyed the structure. Because of God's displeasure of man following his own course, God chose lightning to strike the Tower of Babel, toppling the upper section of the tower onto the ground. As I mentioned at the top of the show, we want to spend some time looking at the Tower of Babel in our program today. We want to go back and look at the historical account of what took place, why it took place, the results, and how it applies today, and to the degree that it is involved in our society today. So we want to look at the biblical perspective of how the Tower of Babel exists in our world today. You know, Mario's here in the studio again to discuss this issue. So, Mario, maybe you'd like to just start by talking about the historical account from the book of Genesis chapter 11.
And I think looking at the Tower of Babel, you'll find in Genesis chapter 11, and the whole, you know, chapter deals with the issue of this tower that these people were building. And prior to that, in chapter 10, it gives us the right after the flood, Paul. We know that there was eight that were saved in the ark. And after that, after the waters subside and so on, we know that one group of people there left and went to the plain lands, to the lower parts, while the rest stayed in the mountains because they saw the fertile land and so on. And also they were, in one way, didn't want to do according to God's purposes and laws that he had put in place. So naturally what they did, they left the other group and they formed their own society, so to speak.
Yeah, and the plains of Shinar refers
exactly.
to scripture. Yeah.
And later on we see in chapter 10, it's interesting, one of the sons of Ham was called Nimrod. And he says, and he was a mighty warrior. And he says that he built his kingdom and it was called Babel. So even before the Tower of Babel, mm-hmm. we saw here that Nimrod wanted to bring people into the city, so to speak, and build this big city, and in there to bring a monument to their, glory. Mm-hmm. They want to build this tower.
Yeah. And you mentioned that Nimrod was a descendant of Ham. Mm-hmm. Ham was a son of Noah, one of the three sons.
Yes.
And it's interesting, Shem and Japheth, which were the other two sons, mm-hmm. were the God-fearing sons, and it was Ham committed the apostasy and left the group and went down to the plains. So here we see one third of his sons that were sort of uprooted and left the group.
Mm. Yes, it's interesting that you bring that, because I think bring to heaven, you know, that if Satan talks about that he drew with himself one third of the heavenly angels, fallen angels.
Yeah.
And we see that same thing, you know, this rebellious against God's government and God's law. Mm-hmm. being played out here right after the flood, you know.
And it's interesting, this rebellion cannot coexist with truth.
No.
You know, that existed in heaven, that existed in Eden, and we see that taking place here again in the world.
And it's interesting, God told them after that they were supposed to disperse. They were not supposed to stay around the ark. mm-hmm. And also gave him promise that he wouldn't destroy the world with a flood again. And that was, you know, the promise was actually the rainbow. So mm-hmm. every time you saw a rainbow, that was supposed to remind them as well that the promises God made would stand forever. But we see later on that they defiled this group that didn't want to go and populate the world, world at the time, the earth. But they stick together. And this is interesting too, that they also, another thing was that they had one language, mm-hmm. you know, at this point, and one speech. So they were able to communicate and kind of work together, you know.
Yeah, much easier. Just think if that existed in our world today, if we had one language, you know, you wonder like how many barriers would be removed. And that existed in their day. You know, how much more efficient that would have been in their day.
Yes, this is very interesting. And then this leads us to chapter 11, where we actually see the progression there. What was happening, contrasting, you know, give us a glimpse, I guess, what was taking place with this group down in Shinar, because they journey from east, it says in chapter 11:2 here, Genesis 11:2, and it says that they dwelt there, and it says, and they said to one another, go, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly, and they had brick for stone and slime that they had for mortar, and explains that how they build this city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and it says, let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole world, mm-hmm. whole earth.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. We still use that terminology, that language in our own day, you know, to make a name for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to stand out, you know, you have that desire to stand above the rest, you know?
Exactly. And also here it says, let us make us a name. And prior to that, if you look in Genesis 2, God says, let us make a man in our image.
Mm-hmm.
So what they were doing, they were exalting self above God here. And they were using some of that prerogatives that applied to God, saying, let us make mm-hmm. a name for us.
Yeah, yeah.
So we see the exaltation of self.
Yeah. There's a short quote here I just want to share that summarizes that.
Mm-hmm.
It says, the magnificent tower reaching to the heavens was intended to stand as a monument of the power and wisdom of its builders, perpetuating their fame to the latest generations.
Mm.
So it was going to be a monument to their fame, you know, proclaiming them throughout their generations.
And later on it says in Genesis 11:6, it says, "And the Lord said, Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they began to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do." Nothing will be restrained from them. It's interesting. Mm-hmm. There was imagination thing. They were going to do things here in this building process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, and it's interesting. We know that by looking at what's taking place and why God eventually had to step in. Because if God didn't intervene, they were actually going to destroy themselves. Because the things that were going to happen was they walk away from God and his rules and principles that they said, well, we don't need that. Mm-hmm. We have our own rule. We can take care of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
By doing that, we see later on things that was ungodly would start coming in. You know, mm-hmm. even to the point where later on it was violence and other things, they were very permeating in that. Mm-hmm. But by building a tower, they were able to then say, well, this everything is fine in our society.
Mm-hmm.
We're focusing on building this tower. And the reason they want to build a tower was, as it says here, to the heights. They may reach unto heaven. Mm-hmm. Partially was, you know, because God had made a promise he wouldn't destroy it by water. They say, well, we'll build higher up. But another thing as well, so they're building to heaven, another way to reach to heaven, so to speak, you know.
Mm-hmm. By man's way and not by God's way. It's interesting, they lived a relatively short period. This took place a relatively short period after the flood.
Mm-hmm.
So it's amazing that they would turn on God's promises that he had promised them, that you know he would never flood the earth again.
Mm-hmm.
And yet so soon after hearing those promises, yet they chose to embark upon their own course. They chose to live by works as opposed to by faith, you know, which has, you know, continued through centuries. You know,
it's yes.
It goes back to that same idea, you know, we will choose to follow our own leading and not God's leading.
Exactly. And it's interesting, the word Babel, that you know, we just mentioned that Nimrod was the first, if you want to use the leader of this big city. And the Babel means, comes from two words, Bab and El. Bab meaning gate and El meaning God. So here we see this concept again, another gate to heaven, another gate to God. Mm-hmm. Alternative, because Jesus says, I'm the door, I'm the gate. Mm-hmm. Only through me can you come to the Father. Mm-hmm. And here we see there's another different way to man's way, right, for salvation, and man-based by works.
And man's way will always fail.
Exactly, you know. And so, what God did was very simple. He just confounded their language, and he couldn't understand without his speech. And naturally, so the Lord scattered them abroad from henceforth the face of the earth, and they left off to build the city. And therefore, it is the name of it is called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of the earth. So Babel means confusion, mm-hmm. according to God's dictionary.
Mm-hmm.
According to their own dictionary, Babel stands for gates to heaven, their mm-hmm. own way of receiving the salvation and attaining some sort of godlihood.
Yeah. So God's trying to disperse them. They're trying to stay together, but God's way wins out. Now, that's the historical account, Mario. But how does that apply, if you were to bring that forward to our day? Is this still just a historical account, or is mankind still trying to perpetuate this idea of doing things man's way and turning their back on God's word?
Well, I think, you know, Babel or Tower of Babel is in vogue today. You won't believe if you type it in on the internet, you'll find a lot of things from magazines to rock bands to you name it. Everyone's using this concept of Babel or Tower mm-hmm. of Babel, mm-hmm. and to so much extent that the European Union, for instance, has this interesting logo that I just found. You know, they call it the Europe Many Tongues, One Voice. Mm-hmm. And another thing is talking about monuments.
Goes back to the language, one voice.
Yes, yeah. And also it's interesting you find that, as you know, the European Parliament, there's two seats. One is in Brussels and one is in Strasbourg. And in Strasbourg, in 1999, December 14, they built a Louis Weiss building in Strasbourg. And this is actually a tower,
mm-hmm.
a Tower of Babel. And it's unfinished, signifying that it's not completed yet. You know, the idea, purpose is to unite all the European countries into one nation, so to speak. and brings us back. And they use the concept, even their magazine is called the Café Babel, and they use the word Tower of Babel there. So it's a very, you know, very direct referring back to Genesis.
Yeah. And that's very interesting, because I've seen pictures of that structure, that building, and it was constructed to look like an uncompleted tower, as if to say, we will complete the work that was started 4,000 years ago.
Yes, yes. It's a defilement of trying to rewrite what God has done and set in motion, you know. They try and bring back that one government, basically, under the leadership of Nimrod. But we know that underneath it is Satan's desire to be that head of the whole world.
And there's really something else that comes into play as well, Mario. We've discussed a number of times in this program in the past, Daniel chapter 2, where, you know, Daniel, you know, King Nebuchadnezzar had this dream, and Daniel interpreted it for him, you know, had the dream again for himself and interpreted it for King Nebuchadnezzar. And in this image, you know, of gold and silver and brass and iron, when it got down to the feet, it was iron and clay, and it went into the 10 toes. And this representing, you know, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, down to the divisions within the countries of Europe. And we've seen, you know, historically in the past century or so, a number of efforts to try to reunify Europe. But God says in Daniel chapter 2, they shall not cleave one to another. These countries that were separated from Rome, they shall not never join together cohesively. The past attempts have failed. So what do you think will happen through this, you know, attempt at a, you know, reunification through this process here?
Well, I think a good example is this, the EU Constitution. You know, they realize because of such diverse nations, they all have different laws and regulations. They can't go on like this. And they have come to the conclusion that they need this EU Constitution. But twice it's been, you know, so one or the other country has said no. But they need to be ratified by 27 nations currently as are part of EU. And the last one, last year, was Ireland, who said no, that because they have in their constitution that people had to make the vote, not the parliament of the country. Most of the countries in Europe, the parliament makes a decision on behalf of the people. And now there's a big debate. Well, this is being stalled. This is delaying this unification more. And they're more or less pushing people now to accept the next constitution. And I think with the EU constitution, we're going to see some more of this. You know, one of the things that they want to bring back is the Christian roots. And I think the papacy is playing a very big role here in having a decision, because they're all turning to Rome again, looking for that advice to unite everyone. Right now, you know, they have this diversity, and it's not quite unity because of the different nationalities.
Yeah, because their motto is what? Unity in diversity.
Diversity, but we're saying difficulty. So they're looking for someone who will kind of, you know, bring this together. And I think they're going to be looking at Rome, to the Vatican, and Benedict, because he chose that name. The Benedict, Pope Benedict Ratzinger chose that name because it means to unite the Europe. And I think there was purpose to be the previous Benedicts who have chosen. He was the 16th currently Pope. They tried to have that influence in Europe to bring political and religious powers together, but they weren't successful. And I believe this Pope believes in his heart that he is the one that's going to play a major role.
But yet we still have God's word in Daniel 2 saying they shall not cleave one to another.
Exactly. Yeah. And also, you know, we look at Babylon is used in Book of Revelation, talking about how these fallen churches, the worldly churches, who are going contrary to God's law and God's rule and his word, using, you know, there's different ways coming together and trying to solve the issues in the world. But they don't realize they're working against. That's why God says, come out of her, my people. God has his people everywhere, but he's calling them out of this confederacy that these powers are trying to form today. And we see it very much in the economic sphere now with this collapse of banks and so on. And, you know, we're sure in the future environmental other things that might galvanize and speed up the process of an unification of all the countries in the world.
Because usually when you have issues of this nature, you know, come to light, people can try to unite, you know, based on these issues.
Something comes to my mind, uniting. We see that in the Olympics. The Olympics has actually, since they were put in place in the, I think it's 1928, starting in Holland, was to unify all the nations through the sport event. Because what was the best thing is, you know, you couldn't have quarrels. You send your best athletes to take part in this. And it was like you carry your flag, but you were part of this big, you know, this big event that symbolized coming together. And it was a torch that was being carried. I mean, you can look at many of the pagan things and so on that permeates the Olympics, torch and so on. But one thing that was interesting about this past Summer Olympics in China was that at closing ceremonies, they actually built a tower of humans being attached to it. And it was called the Memory Tower. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was interesting, again, that they bring this back to the tower again, mm-hmm. Bringing all the peoples under one voice and one government.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in writings, you also see a tree associated with a tower.
Yes.
Which is quite interesting. You want to comment on that one?
Well, I was also surprised because I was watching these closing ceremonies. In the end, this what was tower, they flared out these look like branches. And it looked like a big, huge tree. And they have all these people from different nationalities underneath this tree, symbolizing, you know, that, you know, this will be a unification of one government.
Mm. And it's interesting, too, quite often when you see the tree associated with the Tower of Babel, it refers to the Tree of Life.
Yes.
It's interesting, in the Garden of Eden, when mankind chose his own way, mm-hmm. he was banished from approaching the Tree of Life. But yet, when we see the Tower of Babel, we see mankind saying, no, we haven't had our last say. We will succeed. We will finally get to that Tree of Life through the Tower of Babel. But, there is only one way to the Tree of Life, and that's through God's ways, not man's way.
I think King Nebuchadnezzar, if you read chapter 4 in Daniel 4, he talks about, he gives his personal testimony how he was as a king. And he looked and he saw, he had a dream, you know, about this tree that was later was cut down. And he wanted Daniel to interpret, and Daniel interprets as God showed this to me. And this dream is very interesting because it showed him initially being very proud and saying, this is my kingdom, this is mine. And he was cut down to teach him a lesson. But, you know, it shows initially that he was a king, that everyone else was subdued to him, mm-hmm. that he had control of everything. But God mm-hmm. says, your heart wasn't clear, wasn't in tune with my.
Mm-hmm. Right. So we see that, you know, in our world today, mm-hmm. you know, the Tower of Babel plays a very prominent role in the European Union, within the, you know, all aspects of what they do, including their building that they use in Strasbourg.
Yeah, and I think also our song we just started here, right?
Yeah.
The Beethoven's symphony was very interesting. Why it was written, Paul?
Yeah. We asked that question, you know, what does that have to do with the Tower of Babel? Well, that, you know, that Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee, is the theme song for the European Union.
Yes.
So.
And when Beethoven penned it down, was in reference to a brotherly living together, all the brothers together in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, fascinating how it all links together.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, our first half hour has come to an end. We hope you've enjoyed the presentation. If you have any comments or questions, you can reach us at radioreflection@yahoo.ca. That's radioreflection@yahoo.ca. Remember this week to take time to reflect on God's Word, and whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, and whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things.